Blog Talk Radio. Cindy Sansone Breath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Hopefully tonight, my co-host Nicole will be joining me. I'm not sure why she's not here yet, but for those of you who know her, she's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that always lets us know that women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other, so we try not to blame everything on the opposite sex. Well, hello, good evening, and welcome to our show. It's a nice, warm summer day today. I don't know if some of you were greeted with thunderstorms, but got really dark the sky, and then it just kind of passed, so I'm glad about that. We have a lot of exciting things happening in Patchogue this weekend. We have the music festival for the next couple of days. So we just had a car crash in the main part of our town, which I pray for those souls. It looked like a pretty bad accident when I was driving by. Crashed into the new village, the new apartments in Patchogue. So I'm just hoping it wasn't as bad as it looked. But anyway, we'll pray for those souls. Now, those of you who are not familiar with our show, if you do want to speak to me, you do have to press the number 1 on your phone. Otherwise, I won't know you want to speak. So I do see that I have one of my clients, and I'm glad that she had let me know that she was going to call in today. So I'm going to go right over to
and
you.
And I'm going to go in the chat room.
Oh, you're here, my darling. Okay. I was just like sending out my vibration. Please, my Nicole.
No. You know what? My mom actually told me about 8 minutes ago that it was 8 minutes to the show. And unfortunately, Elisa's grandfather wound up going back into the hospital, and he wasn't really doing so well. So I was having a conversation about him, and I lost track of my time. But I am here. I am with you.
That's
and
okay.
I'm going to run into the chat room so you could take that call.
Okay. All right. I'm going to get that one, and you can screen. Okay.
You got it. And we'll chat later.
Okay. 0194. Okay. That's the last four digits. Hello. It's Cindy, and you're live and on the air.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hello. And who is this? I know who you are, but my listeners don't know.
It's Eleanor, and a longtime caller, huge fan of yours and your books.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I just love it because I love to hear that because, you know, the world would change a little more if people would maybe read those books. Not, they just have a lot of information on how to be nicer to people and how to, like, be stronger when we need to be. And I know you've become a really strong woman from those books.
It really, you know, I've been for counseling, and there was just such tremendous growth from reading your books and an awakening, I guess, for lack of a better word.
And
you know,
that's great. Now, I know you had a new relationship, correct? And maybe that's what you want to call in about, or maybe why don't you fill in our listeners, because I remember, but they won't.
I guess it's a new relationship. It's about 8 months now, and, you know, we click really well, and, you know, we seem to, you know, read each other, and we're, you know, driving really well. He's talking about moving in, getting married. My brakes are on, but I just, you know, sometimes we can get a little volatile, you know, as far as, you know, he's trying to cool off a little bit and curb his temper, and he's working on his issues. I was just wondering what you're seeing with it.
Okay. I wish I had better cards on this right now. Okay. You know, my wish was that, you know, this would be like happily ever after sooner than later. But I'm seeing some pretty big red flags with him. And, you know, is he still in therapy or is he starting some therapy because he really needs therapy?
No, I know he really needs therapy. He's refusing to have therapy and he's trying to work on his issues by himself.
Okay, and how's that work for him so far and how old is he?
He's 50 and I know he's very set in his ways. You know, as far as us arguing, I've told him to count to 30 and then, you know, he's trying on that end, you know, but,
okay.
You know, he kind of beats a dead horse, if you know what I mean.
Right, exactly. And what I'm seeing here is he's probably not going to change significantly. I mean, what you see is what you get at this point. And, you know, the prince that becomes the beast has really start to be clear around the 6-month mark. So some of the things, these are issues either you learn to deal with or you learn to live with. I mean, you could help do some behavior modification with him, which means, you know, you don't enable him, you don't encourage, you know, the negative behaviors, you don't give him a lot of attention for it. But, you know, I know when you first met, there was a very strong soulmate connection. You guys, you know, we'll agree you were soulmates. Remember loving him with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body in the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have that? And he felt the same way about you. So you're one of the 45% of people offered the wonderful animal known as soulmate love. But 1% of people actually maintain it. It looks like you'll more than likely bring it down to sort of you shutting up a lot and kind of mediocre because it's going to be hard to maintain this as soulmate because he really, you know, I have the deck that I use when I do phone readings or on the radio is not the 82-card deck that I use when people are here and they pull cards. This deck has
right.
doubles and triples of certain really strong cards because, you know, normally, you know, you would be pulling them. On this
right.
one, the first card and the last card I got was the devil card, which is always a toxic relationship. So I got a double devil on this card because it looks like if you're not careful, this relationship could become very, very toxic. So, you know, you shutting up isn't the answer either because then it's mediocre. So you're going to have to say what you mean what you say without being mean about it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, just righteous anger, which you know from why good people can't lead bad relationships. You know, you could say, honey, I love you, but when you do A, B, C, D, it makes me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how it's not acceptable. You know, I think I had warned you in the last reading I really wouldn't have him move in with you too soon. Because you do have children
right.
involved here. And in New York, because we have really squatter laws here. So if he moves in and then 2 weeks into this isn't going well, or a month into it, you can't just throw him out. You know, you have to
right.
get the sheriff to get people out. And it takes like a year in New York. So, you know, and your children are pretty sensitive children by nature, by the way.
I know that.
You know, and his, like, you know, you're a grown-up, so some of his temper might not scare you that much, but it's really going to terrify your children. So, you know, think about it before you make a move. And, you know, the prince that becomes the beast always wants to move in or marry as quickly. Did you know that? Because they
No.
know they can't sustain their behaviors forever. When I married my first husband, I only knew him 6 months, okay, and he was quite the prince. I mean, it was just amazing. But, boy, as soon as I married him, boy, I saw there some true colors that are, you know, just were not good. I mean, people
yeah.
that are in that big a hurry want to get us to do something more permanent before we really see who they are. So, you know, you might want to put in your mind and just tell them, you know, we're not going to move into each other until all these issues are ironed out. And I'm not sure how they're going to get ironed out if he doesn't get some therapy.
Right.
Because, you know what you said, his brother had killed himself. Is that the story, if I remember?
Right.
Or died?
He was a heroin addict,
yeah.
and he was in a
car
accident. Right.
Right, he ended up dying. And, you know, he hasn't gotten over that. He hasn't gotten over a lot of the guilt surrounding that. And, you know, these are big issues, and people have to overcome their fear of loving someone who could die in them. And he hasn't really overcome some of those fears either. So you would need a little bit of courage here. And, I mean, I know you're a single mom, so, I mean, is it financially you want him to move in? Do you think it would help you financially?
No, no, I don't
know. Why...
I'm happy with him not moving in because
okay, good.
I'm just happier, like, leaving when I need to. And, you know, and he does pursue and chase me when I want space, you know, which, you know, I kind of tell him, you know, I'm not ready to talk to you. Leave me alone, you know.
And those are boundary issues. He's got a lot of OCD,
right.
By the way. He's an obsessive compulsive. And OCDs hammer at you, by the way. I mean, they don't know enough. Like, if you tell them, leave me alone, they'll hammer and chase after you until you have to lock yourself in a closet, and they're still banging on the closet. I mean, they have no patience, OCDs, okay? It's got to be like, now. They got to know everything now. They don't understand time out space. Their anxiety, because OCD is a worry and a guilt disorder, and everybody's got some level of it. It's not like we all don't have some of it, okay? But a high OCD really doesn't understand, you know, having some patience, not stop hammering. It's a very narcissistic disorder, and they have a lot of anxiety and depression. So when they, you know, when people like to fight and rage, it's because they're depressed, and you can't be depressed and angry at the same time. So he'll end up raging at you, so he'll get rid of his anxiety. But then he'll be guilt-ridden because he shouldn't have really responded that way, and he's got his guilt going, so it's a worrying guilt disorder. And it has a lot of anxiety. So when they have anxiety, you have to immediately answer them. You have to immediately deal with it. And, you know, heavy-duty OCDs are like dealing with a three-year-old, you know, who's about to have a temper tantrum if you don't, like, answer them immediately. There are a lot of work OCDs, by the way. And,
oh, I know.
Everybody has a – I mean, everybody has OCD. Scale of 1 to 10, most people have a level 3. It's not all bad. You know, you get obsessed about something, you become a good writer, a good performer, a good entertainer. But it's something that demands behavior modification. Now, I've always known I had some level of OCD growing up. I just used to think, man, there's something crazy in my head. And I used to say, I'm going to take it down a couple of notches. I really worked with behavior modification on it because you either master it or it masters you. And, you know, it's you have to deal with it. And sometimes, you know, for someone like him, he's not going to get over things because OCDs don't get over things. They obsess about it. They go back in the past. If only I did this. If only I did that. If only I did this. They go forward.
Right.
What if this happens? What if that happens? They don't let go of anything. So you can apologize 1,000 times and they're still harping on it 20 years later. So you know,
and he doesn't let go of his belongings either from like 20 years ago. He just holds on to it.
You know, because they have, like, hoarding behaviors. Sometimes they can become a clean fanatic. And, you know, there's OCD in the head and there's OCD personalities. He's an OCD personality. There's a difference. I knew I was crazy in my head. And when my OCD starts kicking up, because under stress it always kicks up, and everybody, I'll just tell him I'm crazy than a loon. I know I'm nuts.
Right.
Okay? Like, there's a difference. OCD personalities don't know they're nuts. Like, if they're a clean fanatic, you're trying to eat, and they're wiping the crumbs while you're eating, and after a while, you stop eating. You just walk away, and you're hungry.
It's like washing my dishes while I'm, you know, trying to, you know, cook and eat and, you know, wiping things up, and the towels have to be folded in the corner. That would never fly with me, you know.
I mean, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, okay? So it's kind of like OCD is a very narcissistic disorder. It's about them. The world revolves around them, okay? It's almost a blinding disorder because they see the world with a narcissistic lens. So they don't even know when they're driving you nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not easygoing. They tend not to be easygoing. I mean, OCDs can have a great sense of humor. So, you know, if you deal with them with a sense of humor, sometimes it could help. But they're highly neurotic people. And, you know, life is hard enough without somebody who's a pain in the ass. You know, so... You, it's something you have to take in your personality, deal with his personality. You know, some people are really easygoing, so OCDs don't bother them. They just, like, laugh it off. Like, I'm too much of an OCD myself to really be near someone who's an OCD because it makes mine worse. Like, mine is really under control, okay, because I mastered
it.
Right, you know, but if you're near OCDs, it's contagious, by the way. You start getting crazy in the loon, too. So it's... With this man, it's your decision. Is he too much work? Is he worth it? But, you know, if someone really wants a relationship to work, they have to really do it, their homework. They have to do it, you know.
Does he want a relationship with me? I mean, what are his thoughts about me?
Oh yeah, I mean you're one of the donkey people. You do the work of eight people. You're a crap taker. You'll take a lot of crap. You're an enabler. I mean you're a good person to be around. Of course he wants you. You know, you're the old soul. Old souls are great to be around. We do what we say we're going to do.
Sometimes I just wonder what his motives are with, you know, being with me, you know, because, you know, we are the same, but we can be so different.
Right. And again, OCDs, like the devil, they know they don't like change. I've been with him like 6 months, 8 months now, 8 months now. So you're part of his habit. They're creatures of habit. And, you know, he doesn't like change. So, I mean, in many ways, it's almost like you're a Band-Aid on his carcinoma. You know, you're enabling him some of his behaviors. And again, he acknowledges he has a temper and all of that. But, you know, what I'm seeing is he's not an easy guy, and I don't see it getting easier here. I mean, and he's at the age of 50, by the way, which is why I asked you his age. Between 40 and 50, brain chemistry shifts a great deal. And if you've been doing behavior modification, like living in the now, that's what you need for OCD, live in the now. Okay, focus on the now. Don't worry about what happens 20 years from now. Do what you're supposed to do today. You can master a lot of it, but at 50, you are solid into that OCD. So he's almost missed the window of opportunity to master it. I mean, I tried to master it since I was a kid. So by the time I hit 50, it was really, you know, it's really mastered. As a matter of fact, I've mastered it too much, so I don't have enough obsession to finish my next book. You know, it's good. OCD is good when it makes you, like, be obsessed about
projects, hardworking people. Yeah,
Right. Or, you know, if they're hardworking, they can be. They can also be lazy as all shit because sometimes if they're perfectionists and if they can't do it perfect, they do nothing. And if you're a lazy person, you get a lazy version of OCD. So you don't have the positive things, keeping the house clean, doing that stuff. You can be a total slob. So, you know, or can be a total hoarder where there's a mess everywhere of stuff. But, you know, when OCD is put into work, it's brilliant. But, you know, I need you to, you know, pray to do what's best for everyone, including yourself, because you're worrying about him. It's almost like you got two more kids with him, by the way.
Oh, I know.
And the Russian expression, one man's like two children. Now you got four kids because you got two with him. you know, and it's like you want a man, not a boy. I mean, you're a nice person. Nice people will walk down the aisle with the wrong person, will move in with the wrong person because they don't want to hurt somebody. Like, I know you don't want to hurt him. So you wouldn't even, you know, want to necessarily say, I don't want to see you anymore, whatever, because you don't want to hurt him. But there has got to be a point where you've got to figure out what's best for you. And, you know, you've been feeling this way for a few months now that, you know, something's got to give. And, you know, it's really up to you what's going on for you, but I'm not seeing this as going to be an easy relationship. Now, you've been married and you've had a hard relationship. Don't you want an easy relationship now? When there's not so much work?
I do, but I'm learning so much from him, you know, because he's brilliant and I do enjoy his company and, you know, we talk for hours on end. So there are a lot of positives with him. But...
All right, then you can keep it that way because maybe he's the kind of soulmate you can have as a relationship, but not someone you can live with. It's different.
Right,
you know,
right.
You can't always live with people.
Living with him. Yeah.
So again, this is perfect if he keeps it this way, but he's going to pressure you to move in. You know, he's not going
to
let go.
Is he wanting to get married? Because he talked, you know, he spoke about it a couple of times.
Yeah, he wants to get married. He wants to, you know, have a permanent relationship with you. You know, and all of that.
He never wanted to get married to anybody in the past. So it's kind of surprising.
Well, you're really the first soulmate he's had. So I understand why he would want to, you know, it's a different animal soulmate. He feels a very strong connection with you. Of course he does. And again, maybe you could be the kind of soulmates that you live in separate homes and you see each other. You just, you know, you just maybe can't live with him. I mean, that's doable. I mean, you know, it's expensive, but if you can afford to do it, I think there'll be more of that wave of the future in this 21st century, not everybody living together, soulmates. You know, they have separate residences.
Again.
What'd you say?
I said, I think I'm too scared to commit to anybody anymore.
Well, I wouldn't commit with this level of red flags, you know, to a, like, living or marriage. I mean, if you're with him, like, 3 or 4 years and 5 years, you know, and you've learned to moderate this and deal with it, that's different. But it's too soon to think of anything permanent. And with your kids, you don't want a man moving in and moving out. It's not good.
Right.
And yeah, and no also, way. You know, he's kind of military with his OCD, so he can't come into your house and start changing how everybody's done everything. This is their home. You know, and even if you start a new home with him, you move somewhere, you know, it's going to be hard for them to follow, you know, everything he wants them to do.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's a lot of trouble. I mean, do they like him when they see him, like, you know, briefly, and when they see him, do they enjoy him?
Well, because he lives so far away, you know, like, and I've had issues with my younger son. My older one has spoken to him on the phone. He hasn't come here yet. I've been going over there, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But he's having some pain issues that we're trying to work through.
Okay, and so, you know, it's probably best you keep it the way it is, because no one will, you know, look, you're a big girl, you're a grown-up. You can deal with his temper, you can deal with that stuff, okay? You
right.
just don't want to subject your children. You don't want to subject your children to it.
Right.
So, you know, if you can modify his behavior, fine, it works, it's good. But you don't want to put them in a position when a man yells, you know, it's scary. And if it's not your father and he's yelling, it'll probably scare the hell out of him.
Right.
You know, so it's really, I'm just saying there's no instant answers here, because you still have that strong connection with him. You know, you might end up not falling out of love with him. You might end up falling out of liking him.
Right.
You know, and that's another whole issue and another whole, but as long as you're getting something out of it, does he make you happy, you know, when you're with him? Do you feel happy?
Yeah, I do, yeah. And he surprises me with things, and he's very romantic, and he leaves, like, little notes and messages, you know. There's a lot of redeeming things about
positive
him.
Positive things.
Yeah. You know?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And
you know?
And again, so see if you can make it maintain itself as soulmate, which don't give in to his crazies, you know, enable him, you know, and don't enable his negative behaviors.
Right.
Well, I'm glad you called in tonight, because we were wondering about you. So,
okay.
You know, keep going, doing what you're doing. This round of cards showed you have a potential to have a little, you know, you can go back to being soulmates, but it might take a lot of work on your part. And if you're, you know, if you're getting enough positive feedback, do it. The only thing I'm always concerned with is the children. Just until this is like, you know, not so much ups and downs, not so volatile, and, you know, don't subject them to it. If you iron it out and he manages to deal with his issues through your behavior modification and through his efforts to change, then that would be different.
Right.
But, you know, if you were to move in with him, right now it's too soon. His other behaviors would start really coming out. And,
yeah.
You know, that would drive you and your kids crazy.
Yeah, I can
really
see that happening. So I'm going to keep things as is for now.
Right. And again, you know, if he keeps pressuring you, be careful. The prince that becomes the beast has no patience. They want us to marry them, live with them quickly, because they know we're old souls, we're loyal to a fault. I mean, my ex-husband got 29 years out of me. So
wow.
don't make the mistake. You know, the prince that becomes the beast can be really a decades-long torture for a loyal person, because it's hard for them to walk away or leave.
Right.
And again, you know, there's, you know, you're getting enough happiness when you're just with him. And really, soulmate relationships, you know, you can work sometimes when you're just with him and there's nobody around, by the way. And, you know, soulmate love is really supposed to be a beacon of light for the world to see, to share with your children. But if that can't be, then this is not the right beacon of light for them, because they do need to see a better version of love than what they've seen. So, I mean, there are oftentimes soulmates work perfectly behind closed doors, but they really can't make it in the larger world, because they can't get along with family members, or they can't, you know, their personality is such. So, you know, in some ways when you're at his house without your children, it's a break for you. It recharges your batteries. You're with a grown-up, and that's good for you. But it's not a real world, because, you know, your real world includes those kids.
Yeah, this is like a little fantasy for the time being, you know.
Right, exactly. Do you know what I'm saying? So it might be
perfect
for you right now. Yeah, it's perfect for you right now, but maybe not the long haul.
Right.
And, you know, eventually it would have to be a man that could get along with your children and be part of that their life too. And so they could see a better version of a man, because they do need to see that.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. Thank
well,
you so much.
Good luck to you. Call in again and have
will.
A nice summer, by the way.
Thank you. You too. Talk soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Nicole. Are you there, dear? Sometimes Nicole comes and goes. Sometimes she's in the chat room, so I never know if she's there. Okay, we do have Beth from Long Island. Let me see what she wrote. Helped a year ago, went through a layoff, found new job. As you said, here we go again. Okay, that's what Nicole wrote. So, Beth, you know, your last digits are 3051. I'm going to pick you up. Hi, Beth. You're
Hi.
Live and on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Beth. Okay, so she said you went through a layoff, now you got a new job, and then did something happen with that job?
Yes.
Is that what
here? Okay, so, yeah, so let me bring you
go back
you
a
on
bit.
This.
Yeah.
A year, now I live on Long Island, so obviously it's the Long Island companies. They're both big companies. So a year ago, I was working for a company for about 8 years, and it happened in June that we were notified that the company decided to my department to move them offshore, meaning, God knows, somewhere off Long Island.
Somewhere where they
and
don't have to pay anybody any money because they have slaves. Uh-huh.
And so I
right.
called you, and I was pretty upset about that one. And you said, I see you, don't worry, you're going to get another job very quickly. And you said to me, not-for-profit. You like, well, try some of those not-for-profit companies. They're pretty good, because Long Island, obviously,
right, of course.
We both live here. So
yes.
I was officially laid off. So this was our conversation back in June. So I was officially laid off, I believe it was the end of July. By
so
September.
It's almost a year ago. It's almost a year ago now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then I was only out of work for 6 weeks, and you said it
uh-huh.
would be very quickly. And I found another job, major company, and not-for-profit, like you said. So
wow.
I've been very happy with this company. But unfortunately, it's a union job, and unfortunately, we were just advised today that the company is considering sending my department offshore.
Oh,
I'm
my
not as
God.
I'm upset about this one as I was the other one.
Well, because you're getting used
but
to the
I
fact
really
they want slave labor.
Job. Yeah, but I really like this job. I mean, even though it is, it's not for everybody, I really wanted, not that I'm not willing to change, but I just wanted to just work there and retire. So I said,
okay, well, get that idea out of your head, Beth, because
yeah, I know.
If you're going to work in corporate America, whether it's profit or nonprofit, get used to every, couple of years, yours is a little close together, every like 3 to 5 years, if not 1 year, that
right.
you will have to get another job because
this
there is
my
no
third
more
one
of that loyalty. But there's no more loyalty between employers and employees. And even people who keep telling me they don't want to start their own businesses because they want a pension, they want this. I go, really, what makes you think that pension is
right.
going to be there? It might not even be there. So, the only security for people really seems to be if, self-employment at some level. And maybe you want to learn as many skills as you can and figure out what kind of small business you can have in the future that,
right.
Maybe it won't be for a decade. Maybe you'll be doing it with one of your kids or a friend. But something that in this day and age of websites and skills, you don't need a lot of money to have a small business. But
right.
it is... people used to always tell me when I was self-employed for the last 40 years, but it's not secure. It's always been secure because I've reinvented myself. I've never been out of work. I've changed, jobs that I've done when I was a children's entertainer. I'm not that now. I've changed it, but it's always been my own business. I never had to look for work. And I was the one who walked away from that other business because I had done it for 30 years. I had enough of it. And so it's kind of like if you're going to stay in corporate America, anybody, get used to the fact that every couple of years, every year, you'll be out of work, and just deal with it because that's the way it is. It's
okay.
very hard to find a job where you're going to work for 10, 20 years now. It's
okay.
I
didn't know.
And I know, and it's like, and you're an older soul. Like, older souls think, okay, I'm going to work for the same job my whole life and retire. That's what I want.
Right.
Like the devil, they know they don't like change. So, and of course, you've got your mom, you've got commitment. You don't want all this change all the time. You want to just kind of go to work and float. But
exactly.
I do see.
I don't know. Like
the Ace of
I tried to do my
Pentacles.
Cards, and they're not coming up. So I was getting the Death in the Tower card, but it doesn't come up now. So I don't know if I'm doing them, you know, just too often.
Okay, first,
you know,
yeah,
I haven't done it in like
too
a
often.
Month.
Okay, but
so
I got
just
the Ace of
what
Pentacles
you can tell
card.
Me.
I got the
what
Ace of
mean?
Pentacles, darling, which is a new job. You will find a new job. And put it out to God that I'm going to do my job and I'm going to learn what I can. But think if you can even start something part-time eventually for yourself, something, you know, and get used to the fact that you can move, you usually have to move up and out. You know, you got if you want to move up in a company, you know, in business, you got to move out of that company into another one. Kind of look at it. This is the way the world is. Now, are you officially laid off now, or they give you a date of this layoff?
They didn't give us a date. They said they're still looking into it, but they wanted to let us know about the rumors, you know, that the rumors, you know, that this is what the company is considering. Because it's a large department. It's going to affect, you know, over 100 people just on Long Island, so...
Right, and
it is a large department. So
if I were you, I would start putting out your resumes because they're already showing they're not loyal to their employees. Okay, that should be like a red flag there. They don't care about 100 people; they care about saving money. Now, you know, corporations are not really set out to be job banks and to care about you. They don't care. I mean, that sounds so hard and cruel, but corporate America does not care about. You. They don't care about little people. They don't really care that you have to put food on your table.
Right.
It's sad. Isn't it sad? But they don't care. This is not the world that it
be
used to
like,
be.
Yeah, I just don't want to be because I have a house and you know how expensive it is to live here.
Of course.
I just don't want to be without a job, you know, without
And that's why you're
going to
start putting your resumes. They gave you a heads up.
Right.
And, you know, If you this way, if you don't want to wait, most of my clients, well, I'll wait and see when it gets later. I go, don't do that because there'll be 99 other people looking for jobs the same day. So why don't you be the one that finds one before they all get laid off? And, you know, and don't feel bad when you leave, you know, because you'll say, oh, well, maybe, you know, maybe they would have kept us. Maybe don't even look back, but take this as a warning to look. You know, you still have a job right now, so you don't have to panic out.
I'm not panicked.
Right, don't panic out. Do it now, and put it out to God. You know, I'd like a job that I could stay a few years at least, please. And you know, there are some big growth companies on Long Island like Henry Schein. Those are usually good employees because Henry Schein is a very good employer, and they keep getting. More contracts. They're not sending, you know, their work overseas, but they're getting overseas contracts and things like that. So you might want to look at Google the ones that are the most growth companies on Long Island and put your resume there.
Okay.
And start looking. It's really upsetting because you were just getting settled, you know, and it is upsetting. And again, it may not happen for a year. They may not lay you off for 6 months or a year.
Yeah,
it
may not be for 6 months to a year.
You have 6 months to a year while you're working to find something else.
Right.
And, you know, if you need to take off to go on an interview, take off to go on an interview. Because at this point, there's no use being loyal to them. You know what I mean? You know, it's horrible, but... You can't. And when all 100 people get laid off, you might take you a year to find a job because those same 100 people are looking. So do it now. That's, you know, you got that little message. And I see you'll get a new job. It didn't take you long to get this one. You're a donkey person. We do all the work in the world. We always get work. There's no shortage of work or money on this planet.
So you don't think I'll be, like, in financial dismay, right?
No, not at all. I think if you wait too long, like most people just wait until they get the laid off. They just don't want to believe it. They practice denial. I'm telling people, when you get a red flag, don't ignore it. Look at, okay, here we go again, and I have to do this again. And, you know, you learn some new skills here, so that's good because it can help you with a new job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important. And did you make more money when you left this last job to this one? Did you make more money?
Oh, absolutely. I make so much.
Okay, thank you.
It was a one-third increase.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You move out and up. So
I
when
did,
you move
yeah.
it out, now you're not going to look at this as a bad thing. You're going to go, okay, now I'm going to move up and get one-third more salary. Because the only way you get more salary is to leave a company and go to another company.
I'm happy with my salary.
And because your salary is higher, when you go for a job interview and they ask you what your salary is, you have a higher salary than you had before. And they always try to top what you have. So, you know, it's all in all good here. But start looking and, you know, look every day. And where did you find this job? How did you find this one?
Online, you know, on the website. I was looking in, you know, the particular area that I wanted to work in, and there's a lot of corporations in that area. And I just, you know, they called me, and, you know, I've been happy since September, since I started. So,
okay.
But I did start one other thing. I do have, it's not a side business. It's something that I'm very passionate about. I went for Reiki training. So now I can do. Are you familiar with what that is? It's like an energy.
Oh sure, of course.
And
of course.
Okay, so I became a Reiki master practitioner. So I try to practice on my family, my dog. I'm not really looking to make it a business, but I'm very passionate about it. Like it really makes me feel good.
So why don't you try to like see if you can't connect with certain spas or wellness centers and maybe teach it, do it, so that, I mean, that would be your own business if you could start that too.
I have to do yoga right in my area. So the first place I went to was my yoga place. And I said to them, you know, I don't think you have a Reiki practitioner here. Would you consider me, you know, just coming in as needed? And I wouldn't even really charge that much. I would, you know,
okay,
we're going to take that back. And,
okay, you have older souls are the donkey people. We never think we have to charge for our services.
Well,
okay,
they said no.
And
so they basically said no. So now I'm sitting here with all these business cards, and I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm not giving up, you know, because I'm going to still do
all right,
it,
but you
want
to go
just
to a place where you can charge a nice amount, too, so you can make a living, because we're the first generations that's supposed to make money on spiritual things to make it a real career.
Yeah. So I don't know if you
it's
see
a blessing
that
you didn't get
that
because
that.
you would have been selling your soul. For, you know, you don't have to give away your services that you have.
Right.
Okay. And so I think it was God's way of you don't want to work there for no money. Okay. It's not going to. It's you, look. You have a lot of other things to do besides going out, you know, a couple of nights a week and not making any money.
Right.
And so think about how you can like build that. Even you know, try other places. Look at other places. It's something that, you know, that's a skill you have and you want to use that. And, you know, that's important. But don't, you know, don't think because it's a spiritual thing you can't charge, okay, because you have to make a living at it and your time is valuable and you don't want to give away your services.
But
and
do you see
you have a lot
that
of healing
in my
power.
In my cards?
Yes,
I do.
Can see that.
I do. I found out from, I went to, and I don't, I went to a psychic fair, and I haven't gone in, you know, a long, long time. And one psychic said that I have generations of healers.
but I don't know if you see
any of that in my card.
Oh, yeah. So I see it. I mean, Jesus did hands-on healing with Reiki, what he did. Jesus was a Reiki master.
Well, so, Jesus is Jesus. I can't really.
But, I mean, Jesus, did, when, you remember when he did the hands-on healing? Remember he would heal people?
Yeah.
He was using Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Reiki's been going around for a long, long time. It's a really excellent skill. And, again, you know, look in your area if there's some places that have it, offer it, or they want to offer it. And, you know, take some time to do that, to put, you know, to see if you can make some contacts.
Okay.
And it's something good you could do part-time and could build to maybe something full-time if you wanted. So,
but do you see any of that in the cards that you pulled? Or?
Oh, yeah. I see that you're going to make money from your skill, your new skill, by the way. You're going to get a regular day job, too. But this is the kind of skill, if you were building this. Now, say, you know, nobody's going to retire anytime soon, okay? And,
no,
you know,
no, I'm not
say,
looking to retire.
Say by time people are, you know, you have the time you're 60, there's a lot of ageism in America. You might not be able to get another job in corporate America when you hit 50 even. But if you've been building your Reiki business for a decade or okay. So it gets harder. It gets harder to get a job,
it does
by the way,
harder.
As you get older.
That's why I'm worried. Like, I'm not worried, because the Reiki really helps me not be worried.
Right,
but
of course.
It's like, I'm over 50. It's like they're,
right.
And I have a daughter that's in college. They're looking at,
right.
You know, people like her. No,
right,
but,
that's what I'm saying. So it gets hard. But if you work on this for the next decade, building it part-time, you may find by the time you're 60, you have a full-time business and you can just work for yourself. I mean, it might take 5 or 10 years to get enough clients.
Yeah.
But at that point, you would have your own business. So, you know, think about that. Think about that. And, you know, older souls are very hardworking people. They build their businesses very well. It mostly becomes word of mouth. You get clients because you really do what you say you're going to do, and you charge a fair amount. And you'd be surprised. So, yeah, I'm not worried about you in terms of getting another job. You will, but you know, keep in mind that there is ageism in America. And so if you feel like you're a victim of ageism, like they didn't hire you because of it, you can really, you know, file, you know, a complaint in New York State. You know, they're not allowed to have ageism and discrimination.
Right.
It is discrimination, by the way.
Right.
And it's really horrible. Because when you work for yourself, by the way, nobody ever asks you how old you are. Nobody ever asks me how old I am. Nobody cares. But if I was in corporate America, they care. They care big time, you know.
Well, it just bothers me in a way, just that how they could just, you know, you do such a good job for them, and it's just, I'm not sure.
And they don't care.
You put down other people in other countries, and, you know, these people really do try their best. But my job, a lot of it is dealing with older New Yorkers, and I don't know how they're going to get it speaking to somebody in offshore. If I even have, they have
right, because
have
they know
they understanding me, and I'm so patient with them. And how are they going to get these people that are over 65, 80, 90 years old? How are they going to? I don't know. It just bothers
not. And
me
again,
if they would even consider that.
Well, again, it's because corporate America has to answer to, and even if it's not for profit. They it's all about the money. It's all about the bottom line and making more money.
Right.
And the employee is no longer valuable. It's really sad. It's really sad.
It really is.
Because when you get a good, hardworking employee, that's like gold. You should, like, really cherish those people. And that's why God would like older souls, the donkey people, to have their own businesses that they could hire a few people. Because older souls are actually very fair, very good employees. Anybody who worked for me as a children's entertainer, by the way, in 1980 got $100 an hour. That's what they got paid. Okay? They got paid very good money for me. I made, like, nothing on these people. Like, they practically made everything that was being given went to the people that worked for me. And I just wanted them to do a good job and make the business grow. And, you know, and I did a lot of the shows myself, so I wanted to keep business growing. But older souls pay people very well, and they treat them with respect. I never treated my employees without respect. I mean, if it was a hard job, I took it. I never sent them to the worst neighborhoods in East New York. I went. I never gave them if I thought a customer was hard. I took that one. So older souls make really good employers. So think about it, my older souls out there. Think about a small business. Maybe you could hire one or two people and give them a quality of life where they feel some security, where they feel like I get a job and I'm appreciated and I get good pay and I know I'm going to have my job tomorrow.
Right.
I mean, that's what people want to know. And this is like, it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous working in America with this. And I hear from all my clients all the time.
When this changed,
and
it must have been back
the world has
changed. I
don't
know when we changed over.
Well, during the Depression, when people couldn't really afford to pay you, they really had no money, they would give you what they could and tell you, work hard, be loyal to me. When things get better, you'll have a job for life. Those people had a job when they were 90. They would make something work for them. They wouldn't lay these people off if they wanted to work, because they appreciated that these people were there for them.
Yeah.
And that's something that we need to see back in America, where you appreciate people who work for you. Really,
yeah.
It's important. My grandfather was a Freemason, by the way, and he was a very spiritual man. And he was not broke during the Depression. He made very good money. And he paid people extremely well during the Depression, and he was in Limbrook on Long Island. And when I was growing up, people would see my last name, Sansone, and they'd ask me if my grandfather was Dominic, and I'd say, yeah. They would say, oh, my God, we love that man. You don't understand. During the Depression, he paid us so well. He didn't have to pay us anything, and he paid us really, really, really well. He was such a good man. And so I asked my grandfather, I said, okay, Grandpa, all these people loved you. Like, how were you not broke during the Depression? And he said, there's no shortage of work or money on this planet. You work hard, and I work hard, and I pay my people well, and my customers paid me well. That was his philosophy, and
yeah.
It worked for him. And so that's my feeling. There's no shortage of work or money on this planet, and when you start exploiting people, it's not good. People need a living wage. They need to feel secure in their jobs and appreciated. Appreciate people's work. That's all anybody wants. Even me, I work for myself. I like when my clients appreciate me, when they thank me. The other night I was doing a psychic party, and sometimes it just cracks me up. You know, I'm reading 8 people, and I must speak to at least 45 dead people in like 6-hour stretches, okay? And this one woman,
yeah.
I'm reading her, and she says she's skeptical, and I felt like saying, I want to read you like I want pins in my eyeballs. I really don't need this money. Please, I don't want to read you, but I have to do a song and dance. So anyway, her mother comes through, gives her name. Her father comes through, all these specifics, all these details, like 8 of the dead people come through. And then she says to me, well, I wanted the sign that my mother gives, and you didn't give that to me. And I said, really?
Oh,
really? Maybe that's not her sign, for one thing. And two, if you know what it is, what do you need me to tell me? And I just went, really? Okay? That's your attitude? I mean, I was like, I couldn't believe it. And I was like, really? You know, you have to appreciate this. This is not a cell phone from the other side. This is a hard job
exactly.
to do. But your mother gives her name. Your father gives the name. Your brother says he died of alcoholism. Everybody's giving you all the... And yet, you don't believe because of that. And you, I was like, don't bust people's balls who do a good job. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that. So it seems to be an attitude in America almost where, you know, you can bend over backwards, do all you can, and there'll always be someone who's like, well, that's not what I wanted. Really?
Right.
So it's all across the board, even when you work for yourself. But when you work for yourself, I could tell people I don't want to read them. I don't want to work for them. You know? That's a little bit liberation, isn't it? You know? No. So, you know, I said to her, I said, I will never read you again. Thank you. You know? Good luck. Well, I'm glad that you called in. We want to try to get another caller tonight.
Okay.
And Beth, let us know when you get that new great job, please.
I will.
And we'll be laughing.
Thank you.
She's got even a better job with more money. Na-na-na-na-na.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Nicole, are you there, my darling? Man, it's
I'm
so
here.
Hard in America. Isn't it hard for people in America with their jobs?
Yes. It is. But you know what? I'm kind of getting to the point now, though, where by hearing a lot of people that are having difficulties with their jobs, I'm thinking that this may be like the universe's way of kicking people in the ass a little bit, you know, and making people kind of go out of their comfort zone a little bit, you know, in my personal opinion, you know, I mean, because it's like I know that I'm one that always wants bigger things, but I get very, very complacent. And then I don't make the change and I expect the change to come to me sometimes. And I think that given today's circumstances, since everything is just go, 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 that sense of complacency is there more and more. And I think that you know, with all this outsourcing and with all of these other things happening in relation to careers, that, you know, that the universe has got a little bit of a play in that. I don't think the universe is absent of that.
No, I think it's exactly it. And that maybe sometimes older souls will stay unhappy or underpaid and the universe kind of kicks you forward. Yeah, I always say the narcissists of the world, the unfixables, always think they're screwing us over.
Oh,
but they make us move forward. They make us move forward. They make us learn what we need to learn. And ultimately, they make our life better. They make it
sometimes
better.
Sometimes they're the best. As long as you get the lesson in it, they're the best teachers.
You're not kidding. And so
they're the best teachers.
Right. So, you know, I don't know if you ever saw the movie All About Eve, but in it, there's this young actress.
A long time ago, yes.
Right, who tries to undermine the actress who's like this long-term actress and ends up like stealing her job from under her. But it actually turned out to be, it was best. She didn't want to do it anymore. She was getting too old for it, and she wanted a life. So even though it looked like she screwed her over, it moved her
forward.
She
really didn't, though. That was Betty Davis, right?
Marilyn Monroe
was
in it, too, a little part.
What a fantastic movie.
Right, and so anybody should watch All About Eve, because you'll watch the unfixables, the narcissists who manipulate, think that they're screwing us over, but ultimately they make us move forward. So,
oh, absolutely.
So that's why I love that movie so much, because I just love that theme that was in there.
Yep.
Well, we do have Louise. Now, where is she calling from? I don't know if I recognize 770.
I did not even get where Louise was calling from. I think that that might be a Vegas area code. I work all over the. I'm constantly speaking to people from all areas of the country. I think like 725 and maybe 720 or 702 might be Vegas. I don't know, but it's definitely West Coast. But regardless, Louise is waiting for us, and Louise used a very, very good word when I was screening her, Cindy. She said the word blockage, which means that she's already identifying that there's something up. She's not just being oblivious to the fact that there's something wrong here. And basically, Louise feels stuck, that, she did have a divorce, but since her divorce, she has not been attracted to anybody, so she's just absolutely stuck with that love life, and she needs to know how to get unstuck, Cindy.
Now, that's a good question. I like that.
Absolutely. Hello, Louise. You are on the air.
Oh, hello. And by the way, I'm here in Georgia.
Oh, you're in Georgia. Oh, that's a nice place. Hi, Louise.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Well, I'll tell you, my middle name is Louise, by the way.
Oh, okay.
My middle name is Louise. So, crack up. I was Cindy Lou growing up. Cindy Lou. I don't know what my parents were thinking about, but I was Cindy Lou. So whenever I hear the name Louise, I have to remember, well, that's my middle name. And,
yeah, that's actually my middle name, but all my family members calls me that.
And what's your first name?
Mattie, M-A-T-T-I-E.
Oh, so you mean Mattie Louise. That's what you
would
be, right?
Yes.
So you were going to be Mattie Lou.
Mattie Lou, yes.
Well, that fits for Georgia, but I'm from New York. What were my parents thinking with Cindy Lou? Okay? We're New Yorkers here. So anyway, you got a divorce, and how long ago was that divorce? Because, it tends to be five-year cycles.
That was 20 years ago.
Okay, so that's 4 or 5 year cycles. Okay. So you must have had some relationships in 20 years, I hope. Did you have any relationships in that?
No, not really.
Okay, well, I think you're starting to realize there's more to life than this. Okay, I like that you're starting to think about that you don't want to be alone for the rest of your life, that you're ready to love. And what's been channeled to me is the greatest love affairs tend to happen to people 50 and over, by the way. So I'm not sure how old you are, but it's like women had to do what, our grandmothers, mothers, great-grandmas wanted to do. We had a divorce. Nobody was able to divorce in the past. So we all relive these dysfunctional relationships. We finally do what we should have done and divorce, and now you're free to have a higher love. You're kind of giving off a vibration that you're not interested or taken. You might have to work on that a bit. When you see a man looking over at you or something, do you ever, let him know that you might be interested? Give back, because it seems like there are men around you that are interested in you might be attracted to, but I don't think you're seeing it almost.
I don't think I see it. Sometimes I feel like maybe I'm a little naive or innocent-like, and I don't pick up on it.
Right, and what happens is the players will hit on anybody. They don't care if they get rejected 999 times. They get laid once, okay? they don't mind. You say no. Okay, but a man who's a little bit shy might not approach you or go over to you, and he's a really nice man. So you might want to kind of look around where you are, and if somebody seems to be smiling over at you, start a conversation. There is love coming. I think you don't trust your judgment. I think, the first round you picked the prince that became the beast, and I think you got a little scared about love. But you were a lot younger then. and you're not the same person. I think you'd be able to pick up on the red flags faster. And because you're such an old soul and you're so loyal, sometimes people don't want to get in something they can't get out of, because older souls, it really is hard for them to break off from people. But this is a really nice man here. He's hardworking. He's a good man. He's not a boy, okay? You know, the problem with men, a lot of men are boys, and you don't want to get stuck with that. This is a man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, do you go to work still?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you work? Okay. Now, you know, do you let people know you're looking at all? Because sometimes you might have a friend or something that you could meet. And you go where you get invited to people. If people invite you to a party or a barbecue or something, do you go?
Yes, I do. But I don't know. I think I may throw off something that scare them away. I don't know what it is. But I think I do scare off. Well,
first of all, you want to scare off the bad ones, okay? And I think it's good if you're scaring off the bad ones, because they could tell that you're not the same girl that you used to be. So maybe you are giving off an independence.
Yes, I think that's an independence, or as my sister said, you throw off that you're higher. And I thought, I do? And say, yeah, okay, well, I don't know why. I do that. I'm not aware of it. I'm throwing that off.
Okay, and I think you're doing it as a defense mechanism to, like, scare people off a little bit. And I think you're now that you're aware of it. I mean, really, I mean, it's like a man repellent. Go away, because I know you're trouble, all of you. And
but there is someone that I kind of have an interest in, but I'm not sure. If I give you the name, would you tell me something?
Sure.
His name is Aaron.
Okay, now, with Alan, how did you meet him?
No, Aaron.
A-R-O-N. Oh, Aaron. Okay, where did you meet him?
Aaron,
Did you meet him at work?
Oh,
he's my
chiropractor.
Okay. And is he single?
Yes, he's a bachelor.
Okay. And, you know, have you, you know, at all let him know? I mean, there's a doctor-patient relationship there, so he's probably not going to be maybe a little nervous to cross that line, by the way. But do you let him know you're interested at all?
Well, we friends, we chit chat, and he liked to play around a little bit.
Yeah, you know, that's a notorious. Okay, so what I'm seeing is a little bit of a player here. So,
yes.
You know, you might be drawn to him, but was your ex-husband a player, by the way?
No, my ex-husband was kind of like a swap serious type.
Okay. So at least this is a different kind of man than your ex. But players, and he's still a bachelor and he's in his 50s or whatever, he's not going to want to settle down. And you're a little bit of a commitment phobic, so you might be drawn to him because he's not going to commit. I just don't want you getting your heart broken with this one.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What you're going to find with him is love without commitment is pain. So, you know, you might just be drawn to him because you know you're not going to lasso this guy. Because, you know, yeah, he'll be in your life.
No, because,
that doesn't mean
because I actually think he's good for me.
Right. I mean, he might be good for you to get you back in the dating world, by the way.
Yes.
So, but know that, you know, you're not going to change this guy. He's not going to suddenly going to want to commit. But just, I think it's good because he's making you feel like a woman. You get yourself out there a little bit. And,
yeah.
You know, it'll give you a taste of liking being with a guy again and not wanting to be alone. So just know that for someone who's afraid of commitment, this is probably the perfect version of love for you right now. And what you might learn from it after, you know, a year or two is like, boy, I really want a man that's ready to commit.
Yeah.
Because you're ready to commit.
I'm ready to have a great companion.
Okay, good. Are you ready to have some fun? How about we're just going to let, and this is so uncharacteristic of me, I'm going to let you have a fun summer. Can you just have some fun, Louise? You know? And not worry where it's going to go and just enjoy having some fun?
Yes.
Okay, because I think that's what you need. I think you need to get out there and have some fun. It'll give you a taste of what it's like to be with a man again, and then maybe you'll want to take that next leap into a real relationship. So, you know, sometimes we have to take baby steps. So,
okay.
You know,
I like
and,
that.
You know, I could, And I could see
that's
he's
what
drawn
thinking,
to you.
Anyway.
He likes you. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And that's good. And that's good. And then you have to call in and let us know how it goes with him, by the way. And,
I will.
And I just think you're supposed to have a lot of fun and feel like, I think he's going to make you feel like a woman again. I think you've been working and you forgot what it feels like to be a woman with a man. And I think it's a good thing for you to experience again. Don't
yes,
you feel
I'm,
good when you're around him? Don't you kind of feel like young again? You feel
yeah, yes. Yes, I do. And yes, I do. And he flirts a little bit. I'm going to start flirting back.
Okay, good. You know,
mm-hmm.
Good. Do your best flirting.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. We're at the end of our show. And thank you so much, beautiful
thank
Louise
you.
In Georgia.
Okay.
Have a lot good of fun.
Bye.
Okay, good night. Okay. Can you see we don't give the same prescription for everybody, do we?
Oh, no, we do not. And I'm just
mm-hmm.
saying I thought that I was wrong. I was not wrong. 702 is Vegas. I checked it while you were talking. But her area code
no,
was 770.
It's 770. Okay, 770 is Georgia.
Okay.
Right.
I'm just saying because I know I said Vegas, but that was because I thought for some reason that it was 772. I'm sorry, 702.
Yeah, no.
And 702 is Vegas, damn it.
Okay. And this is
it was getting my goat
Georgia.
That I was wrong. It was getting
wasn't
my goat
it funny
that I was
that-
wrong.
That she's Maddie Lou and me, Cindy Lou. I never tell anybody that except when I was a clown. I used that as my clown name, Cindy Lou. And it's one of those things I always
that reminds me of the Grinch
thinking.
That stole Christmas.
Well, and it's so funny because when I was in kindergarten, when I wrote down my name was Cindy Lou, my teacher yelled at me. She said, "No one would give a child that name. What have you just been reading The Grinch That Stole Christmas?" And meanwhile,
oh no.
And so I never wanted to use my name again. She made fun of it, and so I never used it again. But the point was, I was born before he birthed that story. So I was the first Cindy Lou, not her. She copied me.
Aw, Cindy.
But isn't that mean when your kindergarten teacher makes fun of your name? You know?
Yeah, I would say.
So now,
like, who would do that to a five-year-old?
I don't know. I don't know, but it's so funny. So when I wanted to be a clown, I said to my brother, "I need a clown name for my children to name." He goes, "Use the one in your own backyard, Cindy Lou." So I used to use it, and one time I was going to make fun of it because I was made fun of it when I did it. And I'm in Chinatown, and I'm just about ready to make fun of my name, Cindy Lou, and I stopped, and I said, "I'm Cindy Lou," and four little girls said, "I'm Cindy Lou too," because they were trying to name. So I'm glad I didn't make fun of it. You know?
Yes. Two wrongs don't make a right, Cindy.
No, but I've come to embrace it, okay? We are who we are.
I think that you
anyway,
make the most wonderful Cindy Lou.
Thank you. So, you know, TJ named his boat the Cindy Lou. So sort of everybody in Hamptons knows I'm Cindy Lou now. Everybody knows I'm Cindy Lou. So, you know.
That's great.
And I will tell you one thing. When I was entering a playwriting contest once, and I was one of the finalists, I said, "Imagine if I use my name Cindy Lou, I'd never win the contest." And you know who won? Cindy Lou Johnson.
Get out.
I always remember her name because she won with that Cindy Lou name.
Oh, you're funny.
The universe has a way of laughing at us, doesn't it?
Yep. I think the universe just kicked you in the ass and said, "Oh, yeah, don't ever let anything else limit you again, woman."
Right, even if it's your silly
especially
name.
Something like a name.
Well, we're going to say goodnight to everybody and thank
we
you
are.
so much for joining us tonight.
Thank
it was
you
a fun
so
show.
Much, Cindy. Yes, and I'm a little bit distracted tonight. I was on the phone with many people tonight, so I'm going to go have
okay.
a glass of wine.
Okay, good. Have one for me. Have one or eight for me, thanks. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Cindy.